Here we are with Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District. Sean, the first question is the Mueller report. What happens next?
Well, listen, what has to happen is there has to be accountability on the part of the president. And how that happens is what we're dealing with right now. People should be crystal clear on the right and the wrong of it, though, because there's a whole effort to make it sound like because there wasn't a provable, you know, prosecutable crime, that maybe the president and his campaign didn't do anything wrong. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is a long list of tawdry and unethical and unpatriotic behavior by the president and his advisors, his family members. It's appalling, frankly, and it should not be cause for celebration because, you know, no one's going to be prosecuted for a crime. I hope we have a higher standard than that for our president. What the Congress does to hold him accountable, you know, that's what we're dealing with right now. We still have some work to do on rounding out the oversight we are charged with doing, and also the ends of the investigation that weren't part of Mueller's charge. But you know, where we go from there, you know, I'm sure you got some questions on that. I'm happy to talk about the different options.
Yes, exactly. Okay, let's assume the scenario goes as follows. Nadler and you guys issue a subpoena. They don't respond, and you hold somebody in contempt. You hold the bar in contempt. Now, other people will remember the McCarthy hearings. A lot of people went to jail for violating contempt. What do you do? Because you've got a Justice Department, certainly isn't going to help you out. Do you put them in the jail? I understand they have in the basement of the house.
We do have a jail in the basement of the House, believe it or not. I certainly hope we don't get into that kind of constitutional crisis. But this is not a laughing matter. I mean, the President of the United States and his administration, you know, the cabinet heads of departments created by Congress are answerable to the oversight power of Congress. These are co-equal branches of government. Pretty fundamental stuff here. This is the Constitution itself. And a Congress must not be subordinate to the executive branch. Bill Barr cannot refuse to testify. If he does so, he should be held in contempt. And yes, he should be prosecuted, if not by his own Justice Department, then by whatever means Congress can undertake to safeguard our constitutional system. I mean, if we're going to go up the escalation chain on that, we sure as heck have to win it if we're going to preserve our constitutional balance of powers. Having said that, this should be negotiated out. And I really want to say to my friends out there who may be supporters of the president, listen, I'm not one of these guys that just wants to spend the next year and a half investigating for the hell of it. I don't live on cable news. I don't think that equals what matters in your lives, what's going to help the economy, what's going to help our infrastructure, what's going to get your drinking water safe, what's going to help veterans, what's going to lower prescription drug costs. I'm working on all of that, and I want the Congress working on that. And I'm willing to work with this president even now, if we can get a big infrastructure bill, which we're about to do, and some other things. But I am not going to sit idly by and watch the Constitution of the United States undermined in some fundamental way.
Okay, Sean, I'm having a problem getting a handle on what can be done. You say, well, you could try to change the law.
Let me do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me get into that because I'm not being evasive, certainly not intentionally. There are three courses of action here, it seems to me. You can impeach the president or any of the subordinate officers of the administration, number one. I have a very high bar for that. First of all, because it's very unlikely to go anywhere because there's not one Republican, let alone 20, in the Senate or the House who would cooperate with us. So we could impeach in the House, but unless something dramatic happened in the course of that, you would not remove the president because the Republican Party in this instance in Washington, not locally, by the way, but in Washington, is so bankrupt and in the president's back pocket that they are blind to the moral failings and the very serious things laid out in the Mueller report. So that's impeachment. I don't know that that's worth the candle right now. There are other ways to hold the president accountable. The most efficient way, frankly, is to take this to the voters in 18 months and to beat them. The third way is the ongoing criminal liability that he, his advisors, his businesses can and should have if they've broken the law in federal court after his presidency, but probably more to the point in state court here in New York. And those matters, both in the Southern District, are ongoing and in the New York Attorney General's office, and they will not let up to the extent that the president or his businesses, associates, family members broke the law. So you've got criminal liability, but that's down the road if it's warranted. You've got impeachment, which is unlikely to be successful and will, by the way, destroy our ability to do anything like an infrastructure bill. And you've got the election. And for my money, the election is where we should probably fight this out. If Bob Mueller said there had been a prosecutable crime, or if he had made a call on obstruction, or if I thought the Republicans weren't morally bankrupt on this in Washington, then I might say, yeah, let's go down the impeachment road. But right now, I think we should take it to the voters, and I think we should bring the country in a new direction come November 2020.
There is a question I have for you, and that is the assumption that people have been having that you can't indict a president. I've always thought that's ridiculous. How can you not indict a president? What if the president took a gun and killed somebody, as he said he could on Fifth Avenue, or shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue? You couldn't indict him? Where did we ever get to the point where we accepted this logic?
No, I think the founders gave us a vehicle for removing the president, and then there would be ongoing criminal liability. So you would remove the president through impeachment, and then you'd prosecute him or her for murder. The point is that when you go after the president for criminal liability, it is always going to be a mixture of a political process and a criminal investigative process. The founders knew this, by the way. The special counsel regulations work very hard to get at this dilemma. And the best thing you can do under the Constitution, really the only thing you can do, it seems to me, is to remove him from office. And if you do not have the political support to do that, then the founders wanted that bar to be very high. There's a reason they set it at 2/3 of the Senate. That's the highest bar we have in our constitutional system for taking an action through the legislative branch. And so, yes, it's a political and a criminal and an investigative mishigosh, to use a New York word, and you better have the horses if you're going down the impeachment road. Otherwise, it is perhaps playing into his own political hands, which I'm very concerned about. But also it is just not what the founders intended. In other words, that is the bar for removing a president. We have another one. I mean, we have another method, and it's coming up in a little more than a year. And I would like to spend all my time and energy taking the choice to the voters whether you want to continue this chaos and nonsense and disrespect for our system, for human beings, for the Constitution, the divisiveness of this administration, or whether we can go in a different direction. That's the election. That's true accountability, it seems to me, because every problem I have with Donald Trump is cured if we defeat him in November of 2020. And every opportunity I have to get something good done for the people who pay my salary and who sent me to Washington to do more than investigate and talk on TV, every opportunity I have is kept alive if I can still get some things done between now and the election. That's all I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to balance.
I got 1 minute. Do you agree with Speaker Pelosi that Attorney General Barr is a liar?
I think his testimony before Congress was disgraceful, and boy, he ran right up to the line. I think he was being intentionally misleading. Yeah, I think you call that a lie. That was a disgrace what happened last week.
Always good to talk to Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District. He's been with us as a congressman since 2013. Sean, when we come back the next time, let's talk about foreign meddling in the 2020 elections.
Sure.